everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Final Reckoning Wrap Up Podcast for episode 13. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Ali, how are you?
It's funny because I thought you... It's funny that you pause on 13, because when I went to watch this episode today, which I can't wait to talk about, I saw the season 32 as episode 32, and I didn't flinch. Fully believe that this was episode 32 of season 32.
It's just back in the old days when normal seasons took place. I never got to episode 13 because by this time I would at least be saying the finale or the reunion or the recap of the reunion. But here we are with still like, you know, eight teams in the house, something like that. And, you know, how many more coming back? So we've got a full slate.
Not only do I think that this is the best episode bar none of the season, which I was expecting to go on Twitter and the Facebook and the ways people accost me. No, just kidding. People give really great questions. I was expecting it to just be blowing up with like how great this episode was. But we'll talk about that. So maybe it could be debated. I think it is the best episode title also of the season.
So I think I kept meaning to go look at it, and I saw it's like the people verse, and I kept meaning to see like how, I assume they did like the people verse Johnny Bananas or something like that. Was that the title?
It was the title. I don't know how you only saw half the title, but you did guess the full title.
Anytime it would come up like a guide, it would cut off at verse, and I just never meant to like actually go see the title. And after watching the episode, I gleaned what it meant.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. And fully, I watched this episode today. Every second the episode went on, I kept checking to see how much time was left because I was so afraid it was going to get ruined at some point. Right. And I am actually drinking a glass of rosé right now, which I usually don't do because I'm toasting how great I found this episode to be. Anyone who listened to the RHAP B&B, I have clinking going on. I'm excited. I like really... None of this part of the podcast was a chore. Watching the episode, getting the questions, going on Twitter, reading Us Weekly. Like, I bathed in this episode.
US Weekly, you mean, of course.
US Weekly.
Yeah.
I was even inspired. I have a treat for you at the end. I've changed the format of the Us Weekly blog because I was just so excited.
No, I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, I think challenge is great when we have in-depth strategy and stuff like that. And we actually got some of, like, interesting things, not just like, you know, drunken bar fights that people don't remember the next day. There was like, as Rob would say, meat on the bone for things that went down for this episode.
As the donkey from Shrek would say, this episode has layers, like a parfait.
To each their own, whichever phrase they want to go with.
You quote your heroes, I'll quote mine.
I'm not sure which is better than the other one, but okay.
Let's get to the drinking game because we skipped last week. I like really tried hard to focus on this too. Again, this episode just gave me life. So I have three potential rules. One is the clear, better one. The other two are like, oh shit, I need throwaways.
So do you want to start high and work down or start with the throwaways and work up?
Well, I feel like I might need to save the throwaways for another episode.
That's very smart. Very smart. So what's like your what's yours?
All right. And showing the one that's the clear best will tell you how terrible the throwaways are because it's not that great.
To it.
All right. So if you see Under Armour, not in the context of a challenge, you take a drink and you take two drinks. If you see someone wearing the apparel that has their name on it, again, not in the context of the challenge. And that goes to other shows, because I feel like I've seen this. If somebody is wearing their challenge shorts that say Pauly on the butt on X on the beach or whatever, you find a drink and you take two of them.
All right. Add it to the list.
But in the context of the show, the Under Armour, not in the context of the challenge. For example, Tony was wearing an Under Armour t-shirt in his confessional. That's a drink.
Got it. That's a good one. I'm surprised we actually haven't added that before. So that's a good one. That's one we need to add. That's good.
What do you have for us?
So mine, I don't think we have this because I think we only have like when like medical people come. And I thought we were going to have this with like the Brad and Kyle stuff. But when security comes to break up a fight, I think that you need to have a security drink.
Okay. Security drink. I like it. Just call it a security drink.
Yeah. I think we need that needs to be on there for a real challenge drinking game. I think it's time we add it.
Okay. Perfect. There's one I kind of liked, and I'm thinking because we didn't have I guess the last 2 weeks we didn't have a rule. Maybe we should add it. But how about I propose it and you be the judge if it goes on or not?
All right.
And if you reject it, I could just make it my one for next week.
then I have no veto power.
I think you'll be better at this. No, and I think you'll be a better determination on whether or not this is an odd thing. Like, I don't want it to be, like, if I just said Under Armour, people would be drinking every 15 seconds. So I don't want it to be an obvious thing.
Well, I'm on the edge of my seat now, so I can't wait to hear.
It's going
to
be such a letdown. TJ shows up in a beanie. Not a flat brim, not no hat, not a backwards hat. TJ shows up in a beanie. Take a drink.
Interesting. So you want to drink on the beanie. I would say it'd be almost be better to drink when he's not wearing a hat.
When he's not wearing a hat. Guess who rules? Is he wearing a hat? The guess who rule. All right. That's a good modification. So let's add that.
This is our Zach and Amanda moment. I'm very stern to my belief that it should be no hat. Are you that stern on the beanie that we have to go to elimination to the side?
As a woman, Brian, no, I think it's fine. I appreciate your contribution. I feel like we're more of like a Marie Kara here, where we've like, okay, you have your rule, I have my rule, and we'll meet in the middle on this one. We each have our one, and now this is where we're gonna vote in TJ not wearing a hat.
Yeah, especially like there's like times when it's jarring when he shows up in like a slick button down and it's like his hair is done and it's clear. It's like date night after he does this. Like that should be like finish your drink. When you can tell DJ's on date night, finish your drink.
So when you're attracted to TJ, you take a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Who knows what our not digital communications managers. God, I'm thinking about Twitter. I'm so excited about Twitter today. What our chief party officers come up with that. God bless him.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about this episode. I love this episode. I can't be applauding it more. You seem like it was a good episode. Did you not? Were you not like feeling this episode throughout?
It was very good. I thought the Zach and Amanda stuff was fascinating that it got to that point. And I'm just very curious to flush it all out and discuss it. But like the mercenary thing kind of just like it's bugs me that like why do, like. I think it takes a little bit away from it. Like, why do they have to keep doing this with like the mercenaries? Why do you have to bring someone in when there's like seven teams left? Just let them, those two teams, be the ones to battle it out. Like, I just don't like the mercenary thing, especially this late in the game. It kind of soured it on the whole thing.
I guess that makes a lot of sense. I've been called out for saying that's fair. And so I've been trying not to say it, but that's like really the only thing that I could say for that. So instead I said, I guess, awkwardly, whatever. I think it's because I was already writing that this was the best episode of the season. One fourth of the way through, that by the time we got to the mercenaries, I was already like beyond any expectation of what this episode could be. That I was sort of like, whatever, I'm already living for this episode. But if there is a criticism to make, that's definitely it.
Yeah, but I mean, everything leading up to it was, it was fascinating. Like, the fact that it got to this point for Zach and Amanda is truly, like, embarrassing on both of their ends.
So we've been teasing this all season, expecting this, that this is, like, truly what the final reckoning is. It's between now the winners going into this episode, Amanda and Zach. We couldn't have imagined the outcome, but the entire episode is basically the paying off of all of this tension, not sexual tension, like strategic tension.
Yeah, they just needed to like have a massive blow up fight and a deliberation to let it all out.
And what would anything Zach says be if we didn't allow Laurel to get a rebuttal? So our lovely Zach made a comment about like why do I always have to be partnered with girls? And I'm sure you were all thinking it. Laurel was also thinking it. She tweeted, "Oh, and then just a comment on hashtag the challenge and something Zach said, quote, why do I always have to be partnered with girls? Zach, you were partnered with a girl, .. It was me, .. And you shit the bed royally. Also cried because you couldn't continue. It's not the girl that's the problem."
Fair, very fair point for Laurel. Good job by her. I'm surprised she's like still like that involved in this like ad commentary. So good job by her.
They must have showed this in the preview, right? Because Laurel tweeted this on September 28th, and I just screen grabbed it because I was like, okay, I haven't seen the episode yet, but I'm going to want to read this tweet.
Yeah, maybe that was like sometimes they show like a preview scene or something like that. So that must have been that. And she just happened to see it.
But one of the things that I think that first set me off about how much I love this episode is we got the one of the earlier check-ins of who's on which side of the house.
Yeah. And surprisingly, Zach's the one to kind of be the narrator of it all. I guess like he's the focal point of the episode, but he's not usually the one to lay this stuff out. But yeah, he lays out the sides. And it was very funny. He's like, we have two very clear sides. On one side, it's Tony Bananas and like me and like everyone else is on the other side. And it was like, well, it's not really two sides. It's kind of like just like a couple people on the outs and everyone else going against them.
Did you ever imagine a world where Kara, Maria, and Marie would be the second group of names in Zach's main alliance?
Right. So, I mean, I didn't think it was as clear that Marie was 100% out on the Lavender Ladies. I thought she was still kind of with, like, I know she had kind of had that, like, fight with them, but I didn't think she was, like, fully out on their voting plans altogether.
I don't think she is. So Kara in her People blog, because yes, I was so inspired by this episode that I even went to Kara's recap. You will not be hearing from it this episode, but I read it for my own pleasure. And or she tweeted, like, she wrote a lot of confusing things on Twitter this week that you didn't have the privilege of trying to decipher because you're blocked. But she tweeted some convoluted thing that basically was like, or she put in the blog that Marie was like really the mastermind and saved people from targeting her because that's where the Lavender Ladies and the Young Bucks were going to go. And she like sent them off course. Again, I couldn't make out the blog. If people want to figure out what she meant and explain it to me, that's fine. But like I spent the necessary 3 minutes on trying to figure it out. And basically, apparently, Kara is saying that the editors have not shown Marie successfully playing both sides and sort of massaging her relationships with the Lavender Ladies to protect mm-hmm. them while still being willing, I guess, to split the difference with Kara and vote in a non-Shane member of the Lavender Ladies.
I do think there's probably some credence to that because they really have never been like in danger. Like the most they were ever in danger was like that one challenge where it was like, loser is out, like, and they finished like second to last. But other than that, like, they have always been a good, like, they've done well of staying in the middle and not being targeted by anyone. So I think there probably is some credence to that.
I think it's the same reason. Yeah, I believe Kara in this situation. I mean, it's hard to believe someone you don't understand, but I do believe the essence of what she's saying. But and I believe Marie last week, who was tweeting like, I was always with Shane, blah blah blah. But it's the same kind of thing with Zach is like, okay, better to go after Bananas and Tony, who you know are against you, than Zach and Amanda, where at least 50% of the team has your back as much as they can. So right. You might go after Kara, Maria, and Marie because you could beat them potentially, depending on what it is. But they're not really winning. They're not winning challenges. They're not a threat at the end. And 50% of the team at least has your back enough to give you a heads up on the vote. So you might as well keep them in.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got a very good chance, depending on how many teams are in the final. At this point, it could be like six. But like they got a pretty good chance of being in the final.
Before this episode, before the results of this episode, although we'll talk later, I don't really think this episode sheds much light on it. How close would you have said Zach and Tony are? I was going to put it on a scale. I don't know, a scale of me and you to Siamese twins.
I mean, I thought they were, I don't know how to like come up with a middle ground somewhere in there, but so I knew they were close, but I don't think like they were like Bananas Leroy close to come up with another guy pair. And I don't even think if it came down to it, Bananas or Leroy would do what Zach did for Tony. So maybe they were closer.
But let's not, but that's what my theory, working theory through this is what Zach quote unquote did for Tony had almost nothing to do with their relationship.
You think it's pure that he just did it for really him, like, sort of himself to keep, like, try to keep an ally in as much as possible?
No, I think Zach did it because he's got a huge ego. But we'll talk about it because it's too much to just like casually unpack at the top of the show. I tend to agree with things that Shane said. I agree with my own thoughts that nobody said on the show, but I'll say later on this show.
Did you just say you agree with yourself?
Yeah, I do. I often don't.
You got one person.
But Sometimes not even that. But like, okay, the first crack in the theory that Tony and Zach are like, would lose $1 million, that it's a quote, $1 million friendship, is, I realize I'm not quoting this show. I forget what reality show said that, but whatever.
I thought you were going to quote yourself as some proof to your argument.
Well, I could quote myself, sure.
Like, this one person on a podcast was saying, like, they're doing it, he's doing it for his own ego. So that means it's got to be true.
All right. So the first crack in this relationship, and I believe they're really close, and I know it happened on Vendettas and all of that. And, like, clearly they're number ones, and Zach has so few, so it's not really that big of a contest, but that's fine. But when Nelson is like, I want a gun for Tony, he does the equivalent of, like, the hands over ears, la, 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 like, just don't tell me. He doesn't say, like, don't vote him in. He's just like, I can't be a part of it. So if you're really willing to take yourself out of the game for this person, wouldn't you do more than just go, la, 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 if you take him out, I don't know about it?
You would think so.
I would think so, but would you think so?
I would also think so, yes.
Put it on the board. That's one. There's one. The theory will continue to unravel throughout the show, but that's the first.
All right, we got 1 point.
Let's place Jose and Davon in the house. Zach really couldn't do it, and it's because it sort of became like a play for day this episode.
Yeah, they were very very interesting, their decision making throughout this entire episode. Really this entire season, which is why they've kind of been so fascinating about how they've also, like, maybe more obvious as compared to like Cara Marie, but they've also done the middle pretty well.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the fact that they're, as Cara says, in like an enviable position, or lucky, I think she said, by being like having sort of nothing to lose, is that because they're new and rookies, or is it because they've been sent to redemption, came back, and have already sort of not burned bridges with everyone, but like, what do they have to lose? They've already faced defeat in the game.
Yeah, I think there's something too, like when you really have no history, you don't. Like, you could screw people over, but you're screwing people that you, like, just met, so there's not as much, like, personal damage done. It's also kind of easier to maybe, like, mend fences a little bit or move forward and kind of forget, as opposed to, like, when, you know, like, Tony and Bananas go through their whole thing and they have, like, a history, it's a lot a bigger deal as opposed to Davon doing it or Joseph. Like, so I think it is easier to play the middle when you don't have as much baggage attached to people.
Right. And, like, if anyone's mad at them, like, I feel like almost everyone has voted against them at this point. Mm-hmm. Whatever. My one question from this conversation with Cara, on Cara's end, with Cara and Davon, I feel like it's rare that we see at this stage, with so much more room to play, with so many more teams left, that somebody is, like, so aware, I mean, on other reality shows, that someone is so aware that the numbers are clearly stacked against them, and they don't even think about adjusting their game at all. Is Cara inflexible, or does she just have, like, absolutely no chance in working with the other side?
Cara's, like, such an enigma that it's hard to pinpoint. I think there's just part of her that thinks, like, this is such, like, a write-off season because she's Marie. She doesn't feel like, you know, burning bridges with her friends, so she's just going to go down with the ship. And there's also probably a part of her that thinks, you know, I'm so good, so you put me in elimination, I still trust myself to maybe beat anyone no matter what. So she's just, I don't know, there's something weird about her that's like, won't adjust on the fly. Like, she, when things go against her, she just does what she does. And, like, if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, that's Cara.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point that I hadn't thought about while watching this episode, that this is a burn season, just like a burn vote. It's a burn season for her. Mm-hmm. So you might as well, like, maintain your relationships moving forward in other seasons. But I think she's really inflexible in the same way that, like you were saying, I think she has the same vulnerabilities that Hunter does, where if you're, like, so strong and so overconfident that you can defeat anyone in any elimination, that it kind of affects your social gameplay in a negative way.
Yeah, because you always think you have an out, and your out may not be as good as it really is.
Yeah, I don't need to finesse the situation. I'll take any of you. I'll see you all in the Armageddon or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's kind of what bit Corey a little bit in the butt going with this season too.
I think Paulie's also emerging as an unproven elimination threat.
Yeah, Paulie having a big ego that was kind of like not Not usual for him, though, so that's kind of new for him.
It was a big shock. But yeah, it's funny to hear someone in Redemption be like, I'll take out you and Zach, both men who have beaten him many times this season.
Yeah, Paulie, the rare 0 for 3 in eliminations in one season.
Oh, but isn't that all Natalie's fault?
Of course, it's always the girl's fault.
Were you surprised that the Bananas, Tony and Kara play was to target Hunter and Ashley?
Not really, because I think Kara kind of laid out why they couldn't, you know, Marie has like her one person of Shane that they can't go after. So I think going after Hunter and Ashley is like one that they could try to spin. You know, Ashley is like really unpredictable. She's caused a lot of chaos in the house. And then there's a way to get people, especially like Jose and Avon, to target her with them. So I think that choice kind of makes sense. Plus Bananas, I think Bananas just doesn't like Hunter at all. So that's, you know, I think turning his attention away from Shane to Hunter doesn't really take much pleading.
Yeah, the interesting thing here about the season is that there's no really, and I think we've talked about this just by virtue of like, it's hard to make a decision on who you'd want to go in and against an elimination, because there's no clear weak link here for them to attack in the Lavender Ladies. Like, I think everybody is kind of on par. I would say Joss and Sylvia are maybe a little bit weaker based on inexperience and Hunter and Ashley's prior performances in finals or getting close. But everyone's sort of like on an even playing field. So it's not like you can go for any clear target. So you might as well go for the person who's like the most against you, which is definitely Hunter.
Yeah.
And then also, I totally forgot what I was going to say. So maybe I shouldn't have been cheersing with Rosé. This episode was great. This podcast will not be.
Oh, man. What happens when you pour that second glass?
I'm in my room. I know better than to bring the bottle with me, Brian.
Very smart. Planning ahead. So what about the little bit that we got of the Redemption House? I'm glad when we get it early and then just like focus on the main stuff later. So this is kind of a good way to do it when they do it like in the earlier part of the episode.
Yeah. What about the Redemption House? I mean, okay, so Paulie's story is that he's at Redemption because, quote, a little boy couldn't accept that a girl he didn't want wanted to be friends with him.
Right.
Is this fan fiction or is this the truth, or are we somewhere in between?
I mean, it's a little probably somewhere in between, but also Paulie instigated a lot of things with Kyle. And then I would say, like, that's why initially he got to the Redemption House, but he also lost again 3 times. Otherwise he'd be back in the house. Like, if he got back in the house and then things escalated where he got tossed back out again, I would say it's also because of what he did with Kara and Kyle whole situation. But right now he's in the Redemption House because they stink at eliminations.
What's great about this quote is that you see that Paulie has not reflected or become self-aware or gained any like skills. Like, he's just focused on Kyle's the enemy, Kyle's why I'm here, I did everything right, which means he will repeat this again and again and again every season, which is fine with me.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I also should let it go. I should let it go, but I remembered what I was going to say before, which is great. What's great about Bananas being on the bottom of the alliance of the like house now is I feel like in all of reality shows, including The Challenge, you just beg for the people, even though they have differences at the bottom, to band together and make a play before it's too late. And I was going to ask you about the timing of the going head to head about voting two strong teams from the opposite sides of the house. But I'm just so excited that they didn't decide to vote in Jose and Davon again and do what Zach and Amanda were doing, because like, this is what I always wait for, the bottom to band together. And I think because such a strong, smart player like Bananas is on the bottom, we're actually getting that. It didn't work out, but still great.
Yeah. And I wonder how much TJ explained that this was a winner take all thing when he explained $1 million, right? Like, they all know it's winner take all.
I believe so.
So I wonder how, like, they haven't really discussed that at all, but I feel like that has to play in, right? Because it's not like, oh, like, all right, so if Bananas gets to the end and they win, but like, I still get second, that's still like a decent amount of money, or third. But I think that has to play in. Like, you have to play to win. You can't just play to make the final and make money. You have to win. So getting out Bananas and Tony is even more important.
Which is also where it comes in, where Shane's like criticizing Bananas and Tony for A, celebrating, and B, not going in against instead of Zach and Amanda. But like, you know, to jump to the end, this is the best case scenario for Bananas and Tony. It's like, okay, so they don't have a number and they don't have safety, but they didn't really have that anyway, and now they don't have to beat Zach.
Yeah, all Bananas and Tony were about is just surviving each week when they're not in power. Because now with Zach and Amanda gone, like, their odds of winning each challenge every week goes up. So they're that much closer to just making a final and then not having to worry about it.
I do wonder if we're going to see something now that we have, like, the majority of the challenge winners out of the house in Brad and Kyle and Zach and Amanda. If we're going to see, like, I guess one of them could come in potentially, but if we'd prefer something like a Big Brother rule, Big Brother rules, where you can only be the power couple 1 week in a row or every other week, because if, let's say it's possible that Tony and Bananas could go on a winning streak and just win out to the end, which would be great for them, but not really exciting for us.
Yeah, it wouldn't be exciting, but I wouldn't like that rule just because I feel like the challenge is so much more based on literally challenges, where Big Brother, there's supposed to be like more strategy and all that stuff. So I think if you just win every challenge, you deserve to win the challenge. So for that, I think, you know, it's an interesting thought, but I think that'd be ill-placed for the challenge.
Well, we definitely don't need it, especially not this season. It's just maybe now. But I don't know. Like, right. I loved how this episode was so much more strategic in the sense that it kind of felt like Survivor. It was, okay, this side of the house is talking about it. Here's what they're going to do. Here's what this side of the house is going to do, what they're going to do. Here's kind of the swing vote in Jose and Devon. We're not really sure where their vote's going to go. And then we see it play out. And I think that was such an exciting episode that we don't normally get from dominant team in the same alliance just winning every week. I agree that the Big Brother rule is not like the way to get this narrative, but I thought this was way more exciting than a usual episode.
So with all the talks of between Zach and Amanda before the elimination, did you have a feel of, maybe correct me wrong, but I don't think any of us thought it would go this way. Did you have a feel like who you thought would cave?
I guess I didn't really think about it. I actually do think that Amanda would have caved if Zach just like let the time tick a little bit longer. Like, I think him taking the plunge and walking down kind of took the discussion off the table. We could talk more about that when we want to, but whenever, if you want to talk more. But I guess I thought that Amanda would cave, if only because, A, the editing was just so, like, I'll take a bullet for Tony. And I thought maybe Zach could have finessed it with the numbers on each side. And that Ashley and Hunter just sort of came in. Like, I do think there was a way to get Amanda to cave in a way that there wouldn't have been a way to get Zach to cave if they had actually had a discussion like normal people.
Yeah, we could jump to it if we want now, because I 100% agree. I think Zach walking down was the worst thing you could possibly do in that situation, because for Amanda, I think not even more so like sticking to her gun, she just doesn't want to look weak, especially when everyone's watching. Like, if this was on her own, I think there's an easier way to talk to her one-on-one, but when you have the entire house watching and you like pull a stunt like that to like show her up, like, Amanda's gonna do what she did there 100 times out of 100.
I mean,
she
I would have done
not
that
want to look weak there. Yeah, you when you show someone up like that, they're not just gonna be like, oh, now I'll bow down to you. Like, if you have a quick discussion even in that moment, I'd be like, we cannot go sink our game for one of these teams. We just have to do it. Like, Tony's my only friend. We have to do this. There's a way to get Amanda to cave to you in that moment, but doing that, it takes away any chance of it.
Or even negotiate. Just be like, all right, if we win next week, you can put them in and I'll tell them that. Like, we're saving them now and you'll get the call next week. Like, anything to just postpone. You don't even have to stand by that, but just postpone. I want to rewind the tape quickly to this fight with Amanda, where Tony and Zach are talking about turning it up to turbo, as, you know, bros talk about. I'm sure you've said that. And Amanda seemingly comes out of absolutely nowhere to call out Tony, you're manipulating him, this is part of your plan. She's clearly drunk, but they don't show her drinking, which I think is a big disservice to her. I think this was so poorly handled by Amanda and Zach both. I think Amanda was making actually a lot of good points, but just completely in the wrong way. Like, the fact that Tony voted in Bananas, like, just drop that little seed. Like, look, I trust you. I know you're really close friends, but I bet Bananas would have said that too. And, you know, we all saw that happen. That's crazy. Like, think about it. You're sure he wouldn't do that for you? He's got 2 daughters. He really needs the money. Only one person can win. Like, have a normal conversation And I don't, there's a lot of gender politics happening between both of them. I'm not saying that that doesn't matter, but you have to finesse a person who's strong-willed, regardless of if he's a man or a woman. Like, this is the kind of thing we talk about with every strategic show. Like, you want to make that person think it's their decision. You want to give that person agency over the decision. I'm just gently suggesting, like, look, I trust you, but maybe you're not thinking about this.
Yeah, the second they bring their discussion to involve when Bananas or Tony can be in earshot, Zach and Amanda are both going to stick more to their guns than ever, because they're just not going to want to let the other people hear them backing down. So I thought, like, when they were first talking, I thought it was starting to go well. And then, you know, they each have, like, they each pop off, so it was not going to last long. But, and then the second anyone else gets involved, that's when it all goes downhill.
And that's the thing, is like, Amanda has decent ideas, but she just gets overcome with the drinking and the you're a loser and then she goes full hypocrisy, like, oh, you act like a bad bitch. You're not a bad bitch. Who are you talking to, Amanda? Don't raise your voice to me. Right. Who are you talking to, Amanda? Don't talk to me like that. Who are you talking to, Amanda?
Yeah, in a weird way, like, at their worst, they're each very similar with the way they talk to other people. No, really, no matter who it is, like, they that's just their problems, and that's why they, like, are such an interesting pair together.
I agree. I think they're the success of the rival slash vendetta slash final reckoning. Well, not vendettas, I guess, but the enemy pair, the rivals format. They're the truest rival, and they're not able to just sort of hug it out like Brad and Kyle.
Yeah, and it was kind of the perfect storm where it came down to it, where there was only like a select teams to pick from, and literally Zach only had one team left. So like, it was really a battle of wills. Like, for all the other times where there's like a real rival, like, they've never been put in a position where they literally have to choose between each of their own alliances. It kind of always just kind of works its way out, or the format is totally different. So this was like the perfect storm of rivals coming together, forced to decide.
Yeah, it's like Marie and Kara, I feel like, is the usual, like, okay, if you're really with someone who's on another side of the house, you play that game. Like, all right, I'm protecting this person, you're protecting that person. Who? Let's pick the field. This is crazy that Amanda wants to protect four people. I don't blame her. Like, you want to protect your people, and they're a strong bond, and they have the numbers. Zach has absolutely no one.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, in their arguments, like, they each make sense, like, why they don't want to cave to the other one. It just, first, they just handle it horribly, and then they also just need to realize, no matter what, we can't let it get to the point where it get to. And
right,
that's where they each take total fault.
All right, so let's talk about the actual vote. I was not surprised, but a little disappointed to see that Amanda and Zach, like you're saying, you don't want to let it get to the point where you go in. But shouldn't they have sorted that out in the vote, like, instead of taking the cop-out vote and voting for Jose and Devon?
Yeah, I mean, for Zach, it was kind of like the initial way to cave, right? Because by voting them, it was like what they thought was Tony and Bananas were going in, right? Because I think they each thought that Jose and Devon were voting for them. So I think they thought they were covered. So if anything, this was Zach caving in, which is, then it's doubly weird that he wouldn't cave in when it really came down to it, because he kind of caved here.
Wait, explain that again. They thought Jose and Devon were voting for Amanda and Zach?
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, I think the way, because they were very surprised that it was a 3-3 vote, right? Because they thought Jose and Devon were on their side voting for Bananas and Tony, which would be 4-2.
But oh, when so you say Zach, they, you mean the Lavender
Zach
ladies.
Amanda, like, yeah. So for Zach, by caving to vote for Jose and Devon there, he was sentencing Bananas and Tony to being voted in by his own doing.
I don't know.
If he convinces Amanda to vote for Ashley and Hunter, then it's 4-4.
No, but you have to think that Zach has at least an inkling that Bananas has been working over Devon, and that she's at least 50-50 going to vote with them. Like, you think that Bananas worked over Devon and Zach had no idea about it? Like, I'm sure Amanda and Zach, or Zach goes to Bananas and Tony, because they're not even talking about Zach's vote. They're saying, okay, Kara, you and I, Bananas is saying to Kara, you and I have to vote together. And then he goes and works Devon. So I think they're sort of like, look, to both of our alliances, we're voting for Jose and Devon. Amanda's confident that the Lavender ladies have it 4-2 with Devon's vote. And Zach is like, Devon's told us she's voting with us. Like, who knows what Devon actually said to Bananas? Maybe didn't leave it open. They make this sort of loose agreement and it ended up being convincing enough to vote with them.
Right.
I feel like Zach had to be, I'm being very confusing. I think Zach had to be aware.
No, I understand. It's confusing in terms of what he knew. Cause I don't think he really knew. I mean, I don't know if Devon and Jose really told Bananas exactly where they were voting, or if they were kind of playing the middle and letting like Armageddon reveal it. So it's tough to know exactly what Zach knew going into that vote.
I'm saying, all right, we see this cryptic conversation with Ashley and Devon, where Devon's like, if you have the numbers, I'm voting with you. We see the loose alliance of sort of like, we'll look out for each other with Bananas. I'm sure we missed a conversation where either we missed a conversation where Devon said something similar to Bananas, like, we got you. And then we're just like, all right, let's decide. We made deals with both sides. Here, we have to decide now. Or Bananas was like, look, I've put the work in. This is our best shot. Either they vote with us, or Tony and I just go in and beast Shane and Nelson or Sylvia and Joss. But yeah, I think Zach knew there was a non-zero chance that Bananas had this plan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. It makes sense. But I think he thought that maybe he did think that they were, Jose and Devon were on their side, but he couldn't be like 100% certain in that moment, because I don't, you know?
No, you can't be 100% certain, but I don't think it was the same as not as like fully caving in. And I also think, look, we saw Devon give 100% assurance to Ashley and then not vote with her. I can only imagine they gave the same assurance to Bananas and then actually did vote with him.
Yeah. That's probably true.
And you can never trust them, right? Like, you can't really trust Jose and Devon, but enough to be, especially when you voted them in every single week, including the current week.
Yeah. So I actually didn't want to talk about this. What did you, like, Jose and Devon, like, they're idiots, right? Like, how do they put themselves in this position?
Yeah. I mean, that's the key, right? Is that we got a question about this. Let me scroll through all my all caps notes, because I just love this episode. Goddamn, sorry. We got sorry, I'm being horrible. Okay, whatever. I want to say we got a question that was asking what you were getting at, which is sort of like, Devon and Jose know best case scenario, they force a tie and then they're up to be brought in. If they vote for Tony and Bananas, there's no tie, they go in.
Right.
I'm using pronouns horribly. Okay. Devon and Jose, if they vote for Bananas to go in, Bananas and Tony's goes in. If they don't enforce a tie, the people who have voted them in week after week after week after week will pick them to go in.
Or option B, you burn a vote, Bananas and Tony go in, and then you aren't up to be voted in by Bananas and Tony. Like, why don't they just burn a vote?
So you're saying they vote Sylvia and Joss?
Anyone. Then it's three votes Bananas. They go in. They have to pick between Joss, Ashley, and Shane and Nelson.
I guess, yes. If their goal was self-preservation, very stupid decision. If their goal is long term and we hear Day say, I'm doing what's best for me, I guess their impression would be it would be best to work with Tony and Bananas. But they're wrong. And you're right.
It's great to say like you want to work with them, but that also means like they're falling on the sword by saying like, so best case scenario by doing this vote is Ashley and Hunter get voted in. Like, there's a very good chance that they're going to take the easy way out and vote for them to go in, not Bananas and Tony.
People also have said on Twitter that, I guess Shane said on Twitter that they knew the mercenaries were coming. I wonder if they thought that only one team was going to go in.
That's interesting. So that would explain it a little bit more. Like, they thought this is their chance to like declare themselves without risking themselves going in, because if whoever goes in is only going up against the mercenaries.
So
that would make sense. How would they know that?
People, I feel like, on reality television know so much about the format all the time.
Interesting.
Let me see. I pulled the tweet.
They would know that.
So Shane tweeted it, but I got the information tweeted to me, and I definitely pulled it before, so we're just gonna have to come across it as I go. It was more about there was so many tweets today that I was just all over the place and my notes are all over the place. But basically Tom Palmer tweeted to us, thank you very much. I don't know if you can see Shane's Twitter, but according to him, everyone knew there were mercenaries coming in and thought only one team would have to face them. So this choice did actually matter. So what I meant is, like, that's why potentially Zach caves and picks Davon and Jose. I think everybody thought they were going to just, TJ was going to be like, but Jose and Davon, you're not going in because the mercenaries are coming. As far as how they knew, I don't know. How do people know it's a double eviction? I guess that's not the same because it's the timing. Who knows? Maybe luggage was brought in. Maybe producers told them. Like, who knows?
Yeah, they heard on the walkie-talkie. All right, they landed.
We got some very interesting information. So we put the search out there last week for what happened, who was the sub, Devin was supposed to be with Tony, what was the plan? I don't know if you saw these tweets, but...
I think so, but...
Yeah, thank you to everyone who responded. Apparently Madison, who is from the real world and also the mother of one of Tony's children. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to be mercenaries, even though Madison's never been on the challenge. I cannot believe that. So Corey would be the sub then. I cannot believe that they passed on Madison being on the challenge with Tony.
So did they pass on Madison, or because, like, I think she's like in like some dark problems right now, so maybe that happened.
Fine.
I feel like I saw something like that where things are not great for her right now.
Okay, but like right now, or because when this was filmed,
I think it was like leaked or whatever, like recently. Gotcha. But then it also could have been traced back to whenever this was filmed. So.
Well, that's amazing that they had two people like have to bail and then one person was able to come back and they could just jimmy things around. But all right, let's say Madison was able to come, and I hope everything's good with her and seems like it's not. Let's take that off the table for a second.
Right.
How could they even suggest that Tony and Madison would only be mercenaries? That is top tier, like Final Reckoning material, main cast.
Very, very odd. Very odd, especially because it's not like they'd be like that intimidating to face. Like their whole draw is to put them in a house and watch them fight. So their draw is not to see like, oh my God, we have to face Madison in elimination. The draw is watch Madison and Tony interact.
Which again, I don't know what's going on with Madison, but the last once every 6 months, I do a deep dive on Tony's life. And it seems like they're co-parenting, like at least the public perception besides this information is that they're fine. Like Tony is with both of his daughters often or on social media, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that they'd be like coming to blows, but just the teaser, just the energy, because for people who didn't watch The Real World or aren't familiar with Tony and Madison,
Wait.
Tony's ex Amanda or Alyssa. What's her name? Some A name.
I think it is Alyssa.
Could be 50-50, but yeah, probably Alyssa. As soon as I said Amanda, it sounded wrong. So Alyssa, came in on, what was it, Skeletons?
Yeah.
And Madison and Tony were like in love, and then he was with Alyssa, and then yada yada yada. He's got a kid with both of them, and he's currently with Alyssa, last I checked.
Yes, that's the last I know.
So wow, what a world that would be. Just to even see the clips from the old days, I'd be in for it. I realize I could watch the season, but I'm really in it for the clips.
that's the best part of Real World is just the clips. You don't want to sit through it all.
Just the clips. All right, so we sort of already talked about what happens. Let's sort of, at what point did you, in the reveal of the vote, okay, it's tied with Hunter and Ashley, Bananas and Tony, left to Zach and Amanda. At what point did you believe that this was really happening?
When Zach walked down. Because I think that's like the point of no regard or whatever that phrase is. I don't know. The point of no return. When you do that, it's happening. So,
see, I don't know. I still believe that Amanda could be like, because I thought that was all theater, right? Like that was all theater. And Amanda could have been like, no, 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 fine. But like Ashley and Hunter. And Zach would have gone up. You think TJ would have been like, nope, sorry, you've already stepped in the sand. You're done.
Well, I mean, I don't think the stepping in the sand was, it's like, you know, you're hooked. You're like, you're in. I think in that moment she could have been like, no, we'll vote for them. And like, they would have been out. But I think once like they were down there, they were both like, we're not budging. So let's just do this.
Even when she went down, I still believe that one of them was going to cave until TJ blew the whistle and was like, all right, you're going in. Just because I didn't believe that it was about the relationships. And this was getting at before, like, I truly do believe that Zach can't be told what to do by anyone. I certainly can't believe, I don't believe that he can be told what to do by Amanda. And dare I say he can't be told what to do by a woman. Like, I don't think that in this case, Amanda's innocent at all. Amanda is one of the most insufferable people on the show. I loved Amanda before. I think Amanda has turned a corner into Nastyville, and I hope she can reverse, but I'm not sure. But I don't think Zach's going to be pushed around by a female team member. And he says it himself when he sets it up at the beginning of the episode that I keep getting partnered with girls.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think they're both equally wrong. Cause I think one of them has to cave. Like, you have to come to a rationalization. I think what you said is probably perfect. Like, all right, let's do this week, and next week we'll do Bananas and Tony, and we'll go from there. Or even just be like, I don't know if they would have been allowed to do this. Let's just play rock, paper, scissors. Like, you just have to find a way to decide this rather than and ending up with you in elimination. That you just cannot let happen. So they're both completely at fault.
Is it the dumbest move in challenge history?
I think so. I mean, I guess the only close comparison would be Jordan, right? With like choosing to go in against Bananas, but at least that, like, he had a specific target in mind to get out. This was just like, they're just going in because they can't agree. So I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would be dumber.
Yeah. You've convinced me that Dave Hunt and Jose's vote this tonight.
Yeah, that's also probably on the table. That's like secretly up there, that like, why on earth? Like, Devon like had like a quote saying like, it's come to the time where we have to pick a side. Like, no, it's not. Keep riding the middle. Like, why do you have to decide? Just don't decide.
But anytime you give up immunity or potential immunity and end up going home, you're an idiot. I'm willing to say definitively, this is the dumbest move in challenge history, but I welcome people's other suggestions.
Yeah. Honestly, both of them, like both teams, Devon also, they both deserve to go home out of their stupidity. So
Anna Eldridge on Twitter wanted to add another wrinkle to the stupidity. She says, assuming Ashley and Hunter call out Bananas if they go in, and Bananas calls out a Lavender Lady if they go in, meaning both have an ally going in no matter who, quote, wins. By the way, Zach and Amanda, is the dumbest argument in challenge history. Why would they care who they pick?
So I think it comes back to like the mercenary thing, right? Like, they didn't think someone was being called out. So they thought, even if like whoever we decide is like the one team going in, I think that makes each decision, including Devon's, like, that makes a lot more sense to the decision making.
Plus, you know that MTV has a vested interest in the mercenaries winning the challenge, and we'll talk about that later. So if anything, it's a harder win. Let's say we didn't know the mercenaries situation. The only possible point would be the fear that if really faced, okay, if a Lavender Lady's in, do they really have the nads to go for Bananas and Tony? Do Joss and Sylvia really have the nads to call them out? Or do they just chicken out and vote Devon and Jose anyway?
Or Kara. Right.
Gregory Contreras says, if Amanda knew Zach wasn't budging on voting in Bananas and Tony, why didn't the Lavender Ladies acquiesce and vote in Devon and Jose?
I think because they probably hoped that, well, first they hoped that Devon and Jose were voting with them, so they could have made it work regardless. And I think they hoped that Zach would not let it come to this.
Yeah, I think at this point, last week set the tone that the big moves are being made. And in that way, Davon and Jose like should have been safe this week. But it's always when they start turning, not that Davon and Jose are a layup, but they're like a strategic layup vote to vote in. So I think, you know, the tables have turned, the two sides are going after each other, and it wasn't really the time to let Zach bully them in to Davon and Jose, because what do you do next week? Like, and this was the week.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Tony's relationship with Zach. We haven't talked about Amanda's relationship with Ashley, and I'm going to let Cara Maria take this one. She tweeted, "So the, quote, friends of the two teams being fought over have zero intention of coming down on their own. We just watching it happen. Tilted laugh cry emoji." And then she decided to write some extra words and said, "Amanda once again sacrifices herself for her, quote, friend Ashley. Please recall, on the final elimination of Invasion of the Champions, Ashley used Amanda to secure her spot in the final. She tricked Amanda, leaving her to face Nicole one-on-one in a tug of war. I have yet to see where Ashley has ever helped Amanda in a game, but Amanda continues to let herself be a pawn."
That's fair, but also I would say really didn't matter which Lavender lady they were talking about. I think just as much this was like an ego thing with Zach, this was an ego thing with Amanda.
Yes, I agree with you. And I don't blame her. I would have done the same damn thing. Like, I would, I, Zach goes down, I'm going down. That's it. You like, right. He gave her no option.
Yeah. I mean, Zach saying like, this was like a life lesson or like a, maybe life lesson for you also.
Yeah. I definitely need you to tell me that. Oh gosh. So entertaining though, for the viewers, I don't want to get it twisted that we're saying this was a stupid move. I was loving this.
Give me stupid moves are way more entertaining than smart moves most of the time. So this was great.
What do you think of the argument, though, that I guess Cara suggests but gets talked about in the show? Should Hunter and Ashley and or Bananas and Tony kept them from doing this?
No, no way. That would be the stupidest move of all time.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But I'm reading my own notes to see if they're worth saying. We've hit a rough part of the podcast when you're doing that. I'm doubting myself.
So the reveal of the mercenaries, Devin and Cora, we get a little montage of them, their history with everyone else. Fun to see. Excited to see both of them.
Okay. I have to tell you, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, I'm a huge, huge fan of Ryder K, Corey's daughter, with Cheyenne,
right,
from Are You the One and The Challenge. She is adorable. Great Instagram follow. Huge, huge fan. Happy to see Miss Ryder K get $1 million. Also, I don't normally do this, but wow, Corey looked amazing when he came in. I don't know if it was the tank, the fire behind coming in, or just the music, but I was like, wow, Corey looks good.
I thought you were more of a Devin girl.
Like, I feel like we played something on the dating game. Sure. Yeah, but it's aspirational. It's not realism.
Right.
Corey's aspirational.
Okay.
Corey's
aspirational. Devin's like reality.
Yeah, Devin's reality. Corey puts the buck in Team Young Buck.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it's the daughter. Maybe it's because I've been seeing the daughter.
You know, that's funny. The way you, I think what it is, I think that's actually true, because I think Corey's the buck. Yeah, he's the buck. I would say Hunter's the young, and Nelson is just team.
He's the team. That's good.
Yeah, he's just team.
But you know, poor Devin here coming in, like, he doesn't look bad, but he's just standing next to Corey, and he's trying to look tough, like he's got his face on, like, we're not done, and I'm rooting for him. And I will say, do not estimate the power of a guy who is coming off a tragic loss. Like, I think, like, Devin has BLE, big loss energy. Like, I didn't write that down. I maybe regret saying that. But, like, my God, the motivation you can get from, like, just having a terrible situation that he had happen to him and losing his father. I don't think Devin is coming to play. I'm a little afraid of Devin.
Yeah, and I mean, Davon was scared of both of them because these are two people she's never heard of before in her life.
Yeah, because Zach and Amanda would have been easier opponents. I loved it. He's like, I could have taken this Goliath Zach, but this sort of muscular looking gentleman next to this Adonis, I can't take it.
This is Devin and Corey. I mean, Devin and Corey we're talking about. This is Devin and Corey. That was hysterical.
So TJ acknowledges that it's a little bullshit they're coming in this late in the game, which is a note to listeners. We're late in the game. That's kind of exciting. The season will end. Alex Richard says, do you feel better about Corey and Devin coming into the game so late after they beat two teams in the elimination, or is it still a sham?
I mean, it's still pretty much a sham, because even if they lost, they were going to the Redemption House. Like, they weren't even, like, going home. Then they still had a chance to get into the game. So it's all a sham.
I mean, I don't care, though. Like, yeah, it's a sham. The whole season's a sham. This podcast is a sham. Who cares?
Right.
Welcome to life. I
mean, at the end of the day, like, it's all nonsense. Like, how they decide rules, and, like, 1 week this matters, next week it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's all... I mean, they could do this. A mercenary shows up at the final, and then they're just, all right, they're just in. You have to beat them. Like, okay.
I should not have Rosé in podcasts, because I'm like, you're a sham. This podcast is a sham. The whole season's a sham. And let's start talking about Are You the One? I don't know. That's a sham, too. But let's talk about Shake It Off. A lot of people think this challenge was a sham.
So here's my question about this challenge. Because I think it was mainly Bananas and Tony that recommended it. Did they break the challenge?
So that's a very interesting question, because I need a rule clarification. First of all I can think of is ShamWow right now. Okay, so I had to get that out. There's that stunt mat underneath just the beginning portion. So it seems as though they were expecting people to plummet to their death onto that mat, like they were doing. But I want to know, were they not allowed? I know they weren't allowed to rip off the flags or the pennants or the things that can give you black eyes. But were they allowed to crawl out there or no?
Well, that's what I thought the point of the challenge was. The way TJ like explained it was like, you have to like crawl out through the rope, and like it's called Shake It Off. So I think what they intended was people to be on the rope using their body and shaking the plot, whatever those things are called, the markers, whatever they're called, off the rope. Like, I don't think they thought of like one person holds on for dear life and the other one just like jumps on top of the rope and uses their body weight to knock them all off. Like, I don't think that's what this was intended for.
No, I agree with you, but then that would mean that the mats were there because you were only allowed to shake from the ends of the rope.
That's probably true.
In which case, it's because I think Zach does originally climb out before he takes they both agree to sort of like take the reset. But otherwise, what's the purpose of only having a mat at the beginning and you could fall in the sand if you could climb out?
Yeah.
But then
that's probably true.
How on earth could they have ever expected any team besides like any team at all to be able to do this?
Yeah, I don't know what their testers did that like, they knocked it all off. But I assume they tested it and like people were able to do it. But yeah, I don't think they were thinking like have one person just jump.
And I don't, you know, if they really had to shake off all the rope, all of the markers from the rope, there's no way Corey and Devin could have done that twice in a row. Like, they were already reasonably gassed out from the first one to have to do it again. But if you're really just using your body weight to shake from a still standpoint on it, like one point of a rope, how are you doing that twice?
Yeah. Well, that was like the point, right? It was supposed to be super, super difficult for them to win both.
But we know that's not the point. They want them in. They don't want it impossible.
Probably. But I don't know. I feel like if that was how they would have explained it, TJ would have explained the rules differently. Like, the way he explained it, like, it was never, like you always thought, like, both people were going to be on. And it's like, if one person falls off, the other one has to fall off. Like, it was, like, the way he explained it was not how it ended up going down.
Oh, I completely agree. Now, I've taken myself off course. I completely agree that this was a sort of jailbreak of the challenge. But I'm saying that must mean that they then weren't allowed to come out to the middle and shake as they went because of the placement of the mats. But then how is that possible?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Also, besides the fact that the jailbreak of this challenge came from Bananas, even the shaking version, Tony and Bananas would have won this in 2 seconds.
2 seconds. It would have been the quickest win of all time.
That's full insult to injury. I mean, even with we're saying like, okay, he knew the voting, whatever. Don't you think it's possible that Zach could have even finessed it with Tony and Bananas and been like, look, you guys are both beasts. I have Amanda. She's going to be disadvantaged in certain situations. You guys have to go in for the team.
I think he could have said that, but I don't think they would have agreed. I think Tony maybe could have convinced Tony to. Bananas is not voluntarily going into elimination at any point.
No, I know, but like, what's he really going to say? Give up your immunity? You know, I'm saying like, even in advance of this arena, like he should have been like, if the plan was it's going to go to a tie, then he has to say like, look, I am going to have to put you in and you're going to be able to beast whoever comes in. You're Bananas, you're Tony. Right. Like, you're the guys to do this. I'm immune. I can't go in. So like, we're going to have to just survival mode beast this.
But I think in just his Zach's mind, he's like, I'm never caving.
And if you can get Tony, which just goes to show that it's like purely about the Amanda politics, but if you can get Tony to agree and not Bananas, his only concern and loyalty was really to Tony.
Right. Yeah, but I think it's just in his mind, like just like with Amanda. I don't think it even mattered like who they were dealing with at any point. It was just like,
right.
No, it was just the ego thing. They think they could have been deciding what they were having for dinner.
Toxic
like,
masculinity.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Amanda also has toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
So do I.
Toxic. So what would it be? Femininity?
No, it's Amanda? Still toxic masculinity.
Oh, it's still toxic. Okay.
But yeah, as Patty Stanger would say, as a criticism to women who were being judged by her for Millionaire Matchmaker, she said, you have masculine energy.
Yeah.
Big insult. Big, huge.
I would say Shane being the one to say that when, like, you know, 3 weeks ago, he was calling Devon a bitch over and over again is not exactly the best. The best focal point for that.
Toxic masculinity. Takes one to no one.
Yeah.
How heartbreaking was it watching Zach and Amanda lose an 8-9 lead? Were you rooting for the mercenaries? Or were you rooting for Zach and Amanda?
I think I like Zach. I really like Amanda. I do. Like, there's like, she's so vile that like, I kind of like her in a way. It's very odd. I don't know what that means.
@CohenBryan_
Yeah, it's very weird. I like, because I think she, like, again, like the comparison, like she's a fun evil that I can enjoy watching. She's not like Camilla evil where it's like, oh my God, get you off my television. Amanda's fun evil. Like the way, like her, I think she said, like, what was the line? Oh, Zach was like, you wanted Coward's horse to die. And she goes, well, I didn't want her to die. Like, that's funny. Like, that's so funny to have on a reality TV show. That's like, I wanted Amanda to stay.
But Camilla began this way, too. And I don't think you're wrong yet. But that's why I say she's like turned a corner. Like, I picture it like in Mario Kart where the cloud comes up and is like, no, 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 wrong way. Like the guy with the cigar. Like, that's where we're at. She could still reverse and come right back in. I don't see that happening. I see her going full chair in the pool, herself in the pool, lifeless, like she's dying. That's me describing Camilla dropping into the pool. And then like racial slurs are on the horizon. Not really. I don't think she's racist, but you know what I'm saying? I think she's well on her way to being a problem.
Yeah, well, I'll enjoy the ride until the racial slurs start coming out and then I will back the hell away.
And to be clear, we're not accusing Amanda of being willing to or ever have using racial slurs.
No, but if like Joss wants to cheat on her and she wants to threaten him with death, I'm here for that.
I mean, right now she's staying in the nobody likes you territory. You're a loser. I really hate that. I just think that's so boring and lame. Like, it's just not, it's not a good bully. Not that I want bullying, but it's just like, get a little creative, be a little more cutting, and then get kicked off the show.
I think the best thing I could say about Amanda is that she's, to me at least, fully engulfed herself in the challenge world that I don't even think of her as like a former Are You the One person anymore. Like, I barely even remember any storyline she had on Are You the One. Like, I just fully think of her now on the challenge.
I still remember the whole Mike thing, but I think that's fair. Who else has made that jump? If I would say Devin probably has also made that jump.
Yeah, I would say Devin definitely has. Tori definitely has.
Nelson?
No, Nelson's a weird one. He's just, I don't know, I guess so.
See, Nelson had no story on Are You the One.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, he's definitely more challenged.
I remember, I'll never forget when we did the cast assessment and I saw Nelson's picture. He's got a fedora on. I'm not looking at it. I haven't looked at it in years. He's got a fedora. His Twitter was like Nelly T and I could find almost nothing about him. He was like 26. I was like, what's this person doing on this show? Then he had almost no storyline on Are You the One. I was like, see you never, know whatever your name is. And now he's like Team Yum Buck, always on the challenge. Yeah,
he's like the future of the show.
Oh, how did we get here?
Crazy.
Okay, so now Bananas, I've criticized Amanda for her weak attacks. Gotta give it to Bananas here at the end. His only comeback is like, you can't take your whole group to the final. Welcome to the world, Bananas. Like, take your lumps. Like, if any other season where Bananas has an alliance five bros deep and then they have to cut Tony at the end and the goal is always to make it to five and then eat your own. Like, why is Bananas acting like it's his first time on the show?
Yeah, but I mean, I would say Shane, like, trying to insult Bananas by saying everyone hates you, that's like complimenting him. Like, that's like, oh, great, everyone hates me. Wahaha, I'm like the one everyone's focused on. Like, that's like not the way to get under Banana's skin. You get under Banana's skin by saying, like, no one cares about you, why are you still here, what no one worries. Like, Nelson was almost, I think, doing a better job, surprisingly. Shane being like, everyone hates you, that's like the greatest thing you can say to him.
What I loved about that moment from Nelson is when he's like, oh, I love it. Like, he really does love it. And this is when we talk about Nelson being a fan. Like, Nelson does love that they're not able to get rid of Bananas in this moment. Like, I think he's truly having a good time.
This is like if you grow up watching, like, your favorite baseball player and you come in and now you're, like, pitching against them. Like, at some party, you're like, this is kind of fun. And this is, like, how Nelson feels. This is kind of fun.
Jeremy Barton says, how has Bananas become the hero we don't need? Weird question to ask you.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, this is by far the most likable Bananas because he's an underdog.
Right.
Like, anytime you're an underdog, you're likable.
No, fully. And then Wendy Jong is sort of like a wrap-up question, says, which alliance is more annoying, Lavender Ladies or Young Bucks?
I honestly think Young Buck might be more annoying, but, like, obviously we haven't seen them that much this season because they've been so, like, dispersed with two of them being mercenaries. So if they were, like, the leading charge, I would put them. But I also think Shane is the most annoying of anyone in any of the alliances. So that's, I may tilt for Lavender, but I still think Young Buck is right up there.
I think Lavender Ladies is more annoying. It has nothing to do with Shane. I feel like it's because, like, I don't know. I hate my own kind. I don't know. No, I'm just, I didn't have an answer for that. I just, my gut reaction is I'm more annoyed by the Lavender Ladies, but it's probably, you're probably right. It's because I haven't really seen them in action. And usually the Young Bucks, Team Young Buck is like divided. Like, it was notable when Hunter is saying, like, we're finally all in the house together. Like, they always have a problem getting that together.
Right, the clip of them all making fun of Nelson is hysterical, though, because that's definitely what they do.
I want to talk Redemption House really fast and just say we're going to be coming up on a double cross probably soon. Who will each person in the Redemption House select to go against if they pull the double cross? So we'll start with Cam and Kaylee, because that's the person I wrote down first. The options are Zach and Amanda, Davon and Jose, Polly and Natalie, or Brad and Kyle.
Whew. This is tough. There's not a lot of clear pairs. So Cam and Kaylee would probably pick Davon and Jose, I guess.
That was my gut, but I had no reason why.
I think by process of elimination, you kind of just land on that.
All right, Zach and Amanda.
Zach and Amanda would pick. I mean, I think Zach would want to pick Brad, but I think they would have another debate because Amanda probably would not want to pick Brad and Kyle.
But is Amanda,
that would be very fun.
I know she would want to pick them, but who's Amanda going to go to bat for here? She's not close with Polly and Natalie. Maybe Cam and Kaylee, because Kaylee's close with Nelson. Like, I.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be interesting.
I already forgot who Cam was with when they left the house. I guess she's with the Lavender Ladies. She pulled off that whole thing. So maybe Cam and Kaylee she'd fight for.
Yeah. So I guess the Big Brother duo would pick each other again, which would be absolutely hysterical.
Davon and Jose. They're picking Paul and Natalie, vice versa.
Yeah, and I think vice versa, yeah.
And then Brad and Kyle are an interesting one.
Yeah. They can go many different directions. Because I think they would beat anyone, so I think they think they can go anywhere.
But I mean, their only ally would really be Zach and Amanda. But after they hear the story, do they want to put Amanda back in the house? Yeah. They're not picking Polly.
I'm 100% rooting for, I need Davon and Jose to pull it again, pick Polly and Natalie, and then lose again. And then we go through this again at like the final three or whatever. That would just be just bliss.
It feels that would be the least interesting outcome besides maybe Cam and Kaylee pulling it. But I'm going to root for Brad and Kyle pull. Because I kind of I'm always rooting for the underdogs. I want like a little bit of a rivalry to come back.
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk Twitter. And this has absolutely no order. Our digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth, is partying it up at the live know-it-alls literally as we speak on this Wednesday night. So I was let loose on Twitter, and here we go. So Amanda says, the way Zach talks to / treats women is completely unacceptable. Always stand up for yourself. F that. I try to pull from both sides. Kara says, the real MVP this episode was that one medallion that was super glued on for both rounds. Didn't budge. I would hate to ever face that thing in elimination. Tilt, laugh, cry emoji. The force is strong with that medallion. Yoda GIF. Should we talk about that? Speculation that this was rigged because the same medallion didn't fall on either team.
So do we think it's because of that medallion, which is the word thank you I was looking for this whole time? Or do we think it's, I mean, if like Amanda and Davon were just struggling getting any of them off, like that would be the one they would have to get off themselves, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really struggle to believe that they made one impossible to come off for this challenge.
Right.
And then Hell Hath Frozen Over. I don't know if you've heard. Because Carberia standing bananas. She says, when the Lavender Ladies and Team Young Bucks keep yelling that Johnny is old news, washed up, not relevant, etc., but legit make everything they do revolve around at Johnny Bananas and have... And for having no friends, he is still alive, bitch. Tilt, laugh, cry emoji.
Truth.
So I don't know if like reading this tweet really gives it justice, but basically Kara is like calling Bananas not old news, not washed up, and completely relevant. So sounds familiar, Kara, that you would, someone might complain about an older Kara making everything revolve around Bananas, but okay. All right. So I don't know if you knew, we talked about this. I don't think we did. Polly said like his only regret is not coming to the house single, so he could have effed Kara and really given Kyle some business. Kara tweeted looking eyes emoji, fire emoji, quote, I wish I was single going to the challenge so I could ... And then tweeted a video of them making out, which I then followed the thread. Polly had tweeted, who's excited for an all new episode of the challenge tonight? 9 p.m. on the only network that will allow me to grab Kara and jump off stage with her, wink emoji, kiss emoji. And it's a video of them at a bar. It looks like an event. I don't know what MTV would have been involved. They looked like they were on some sort of panel. I don't know if this was like an official event. I don't know how MTV sanctioned this, but he grabs her off stage and they are making out while he holds her in front of this bar while they applaud. I don't recommend watching it.
Definitely does not sound like it.
So they suck. Okay. Shane went on a rampage. He had a lot of tweets. I pulled a bunch of them. I think the most interesting one I'll read in succession. Then I grabbed a couple others and then I gave up because I was tired. So Shane said, okay, backstory. From the beginning of the show, Zach knew his alliances and Amanda's alliances were not in sync. So the plan between the two of us was to whittle down the outer edges, never letting on we were working together, with his number ones being Kyle and Brad, not Tony. I told him I'd respect that until, as a team, Nelson and I couldn't. Once Zach saw the group of us running the house and whittling away at Banana's numbers without letting on what was happening, he started to freak. He wanted to be in control, and he realized he wasn't. He had to trust Amanda's alliance with the LLs, and he didn't because every alliance he's been on has turncoded, or he has. So he couldn't understand that we were committed to him through Amanda till the end. After his and Amanda's fight, he came to me to try and save Tony. I refused. I told him he could vote however he wanted, but the LLs weren't budging. He then gathered all the LLs without me and begged them to send in Carmaria and Marie. I heard about it and absolutely refused. We were throwing in Tony and Benanita, and doing the dirty work for him, letting him keep his hands clean so that he had a secure spot to the final. And now you've seen his response.
That was thoughts by Shane.
That was what by Shane?
Thoughts.
Oh, so do you not believe this? Do you, like, or where do you put this on the true scale?
I believe that he believes it, his version of the story. And I bet if you ask Zach his version, it'll be very different, or at least pretty different.
It sounds plausible.
I mean, if you want to take the side of Zach losing, like having an ego trip and wanting to be in control, like, yes, that is 100% believable because we saw it literally play out.
It's also believable that I'm not even saying that Zach maybe even believed he would need this backup alliance, but I do think he probably told Shane, like, agreed to it, and Shane took it more seriously. And then once it was actually playing out, Zach was like, oh shit, I didn't want this to go this way. Like, Zach loses nothing by burning Shane in Zach's mind. I believe this. I think it sounds totally real.
Oh, well, point. Point Shane.
Well, why would Shane make this up? Like, we have this alliance. We were working together. Honestly, it's Zach's best path to the end. Make a secret alliance. Act like, oh my God, guys, I'm only being saved because Amanda's my partner and there's nothing I could do. I'm in power this week. What can I even do about it? Do the things we said, like still fight for Tony and Bananas. But, you know, getting... In the same way that getting rid of Zach and Amanda was great for Bananas and Tony, getting rid of Bananas and Tony is great for Zach.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's parts of it there's true. And I think there's parts that are spun to make Shane look better. Just as I'm sure if Zach told the story, parts of it would be true and parts would be spun to make Zach look better.
And I have a lot of other tweets from Shane, but I'm going to skip it. You can check it out if you want to hear more about Shane's. One more I'll read. Shane said, Johnny is the greatest player in the game. He and his partner convinced Zach, their biggest threat to $1 million, to throw himself in by constantly shit-talking Amanda every second of every day instead of listening to them call Amanda evil, the spawn of Satan, etc. That is bullshit. I mean, like, Zach hates Amanda. I don't think that's because Bananas and Tony also hate Amanda.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not giving... I mean, if you want to give him credit, maybe like 1% by not being like, oh, Amanda's like the greatest person. You should work together. Like, sure. But other than that, this is all Zach.
The only credit I think Bananas and Tony get is not volunteering to go in.
Right.
Amanda said, the only lesson I learned is that Zach has zero respect for women, has zero intelligence when it comes to this game, and that he obviously cares more about punishing a woman for being strong than winning $1 million. They're both at fault. Just move on. Yep. Here I'm excited about. Amanda said, just wait for the bomb we were dropping at the reunion. All caps. Zach is gonna lose his shit. I cannot wait. Your secret is getting exposed. Honey. Devil emoji. Boom. I believe her when she says she's got tea. I'm excited.
Yeah, if this was Kara, this would be very unbelievable. She does not have receipts a lot of the time. So Amanda will let it rip.
I'm going to end the Twitter exchanges breeding with Jemmy. Before we get to the Pauly game that I've developed for this week, I was inspired. Jemmy retweeted an article. A horse escaped from her stable and galloped into a bar while patrons sat inside, causing them to run to safety as the animal kicked tables and chairs before leaving the site. No one was hurt in the incident. Jemmy retweeted this and said, Kara's horse showing up to the reunion to talk to the lavender lady. Not even a chuckle? Come on, that's great.
I was laughing.
Oh, I didn't hear. All right. So we have a new format for the US Weekly recap. I have pulled three quotes from Pauly's work. And I will have It's what is the next sentence? I have two or three options, and you will determine. I assume you've not read it yet.
Oh, most definitely not.
Okay, so quote number one. Remember, I'm going to give you a full sentence, and you're going to guess the next full sentence. I'll give you options. What Zach was trying to explain to Amanda was that when the numbers eventually dwindle down, they will be the first ones to go on her side of the alliance. Do we know this for a fact? End quote. So now, what was his response to his own rhetorical question? not rhetorical. I guess he answered it. Choice A, of course not. But facts mean nothing in the Challenge House. All's fair in love, war, and the challenge. Or, do we know this for a fact? Answer B, no, but one can speculate.
B, I don't think you'd be smart enough to use the actual, like, quote.
It was B, you are correct.
There we go.
I thought it was, like, a reference to, like, earlier seasons, but anyway. All right. Number two. This one has three options. Quote, without hesitation, Zach walked down and stood right next to TJ in a stunning, jaw-dropping moment. Was the next sentence, A, I mean, if that S didn't get you amped up, then why the F are you even watching the challenge to begin with? Okay. B, one of the dumbest effing moves in the history of the challenge, besides Kyle trying to step on my toes. Or C, apparently, Zach thinks standing next to TJ in elimination is a whole lot more appealing than spending one more second next to a girl who verbally attacked his girlfriend, who wished death on animals, who compares how many friends she has to others, and so on.
I think it's C, because he cannot resist the urge to attack a girl.
So it was actually A, if that S don't get you amped up, then why the F are you even watching the challenge to begin with? C came from Cara's people block.
Oh, I love it.
All right, so that's the last one I pulled. The first sentence is, quick note regarding the Redemption House. Okay. What do you think his quick note is? A.
I ran it.
I'm literally running out of insults to throw at Kyle. Or B, Kyle continues to be fake, which is laughable, but exactly what I'd expect from that man-child.
Ooh, does he use the word man-child? I don't think so. I'll say A.
You're right. It was A. I feel like he definitely says man-child.
Not in his publications.
No, that was... I also truncated the second sentence because it was just, I guess I could have read it. His full sentence was, quick note regarding the Redemption House. And this was all he said about the Redemption House, which was the only scene he was actually in this episode.
Right.
I'm literally running out of insults to throw at Kyle. So I'm going to save them for the reunion when I can say them directly to his face.
Perfect.
All right. So you could check that out on Us Weekly if you want to read the rest of it. That's all I got. There were some 5-star reviews, shoot. Well, I don't know, talk. I'll see if I can find it quick.
All right. You can follow me. Oh, actually, if you want to leave your own 5-star review, go to robinsonwebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at @CohenBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashToEats. And thank you to Roller Coaster with a K for leaving a review.
Great. We'll be back next week. Until then, have a good one.